gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do, do, help a snowman. Do.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Well, we have a special treat for you today. Let me just get it going. I'm gonna click this to resume. It was saving me power for some reason. Power was being saved. And then I'm gonna click this. Try and get our surprise going. Oh, hello.
Hello.
You're on the radio.
I'm on the radio?
Right now.
Oh, you meant talk like podcast talk.
Yeah, did you think I just meant just talk about it?
I did, and if I knew that you meant like long talk, I would have said no.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
That's okay. So should I hang up on you then?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know this was what you meant.
That's okay. How about you give me... You thought I was just like, hey, do you want to FaceTime and talk about Neil Breen?
I didn't know if this had to do with, like, hang out with Nicanor and Val.
Oh, okay. All right.
You didn't tell me it was podcast.
Can you see my hair sticking out in the back?
Yeah.
Good.
My little wiggle.
Yeah. Okay. No, how about this, though? Do you want to give me... I'll give you, like, 30 seconds... to give your impressions of Neil Breen's pass through.
That's not enough.
1 minute.
Wait, twisted pair.
Twisted pair, sorry. How much time do you want? I want it to be quick, because then, you know.
I mean, quick is good, but quick doesn't even begin to, like, have anybody understand.
Okay.
Did you tell people how this is like if you do shrooms, like you're just supposed to let this happen to you? Because if you try and understand, you're not going to get it.
I haven't spoken about it at all.
Okay. If you watch the movie and try and understand what's going on, your brain's going to explode because it's not going to handle it.
So this is Cassie's advice.
Yes.
Yeah, after we left... We were trying to, I was like, can we try and summarize this? And she was like, I got to be honest. After about 45 minutes, I just decided to stop trying to make it make sense and just let it happen.
And you were like, I should have done that.
I know. I was like, I think you made the right call. I was trying to hold control, but you know what? You can't control Neil Breen.
No, especially now. He's kind of like gone off the rails into crazy town.
He's unleashed. His formerly... well-plotted, highly structured films have devolved into something else.
I mean, seriously, though, like, if you've watched his other films and you're like, this man's crazy, the other movies make so much more sense than this one did.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah, and we were not on substances or anything. Like,
no.
Not also even drunk.
Had one drink.
I think we both had a cocktail, but it was probably like 2 hours before.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a hot toddy in the Portland rain, and we were in a, like, Asian restaurant that had some kind of weird barrel that was rotating.
Yeah. Still curious about that.
I don't know what that was.
So Twisted Pair starts with these two twin little boys trying to feed each other?
Oh, that... I didn't even remember that. Yeah, it's like babies. They're, like, maybe a year and a half. And they're trying to feed each other. And the one is kind of trying to put like a spoon or something in the other one's mouth and keeps looking off camera to what must be its parents being like, good boy. Is that what you say to kids? Good boy, like a dog?
Yeah, I think so. There's two of them. And then, the one kid eats it and then feels real proud of himself and then turns. And the other kid still hasn't eaten and then has to, like, grab the fork from the other one. And it's like, no, I also need food.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just this weird stock footage. That's... Okay, Neil Breen, Do you want to talk about this? Should I let you go? What do you want to do?
I mean, I was working on presentation for interview, but...
Oh, so actually important stuff. Man. What if we keep it to like a half hour?
That's fine.
Okay. So, and I'll give you some of the profit from this show. So Neil Breen in every movie has like a thing he's discovered and he's now excited about. For example, his last one, Pass Through, was drones. He got a drone and he was like filming these desert shots and shots of himself. Let's call it running through the desert, kind of hobbling, like some sort of a person who lived with dwarfism their entire life and then grew into a regular sized person overnight and was trying to figure out how to work this old leathery body.
I mean, or just like a 6-year-old dude with a flat butt running around.
Yeah, true. He doesn't have the sprinter muscles.
No, he doesn't have a butt.
So this movie, his discovery was stock footage. He was, it starts with those babies. There was some stock footage of just the earth. Oh, before
well,
we get
hold
in.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay, so like they start as like, this is me and my twin brother, like Cade or
something? I think
something?
It was Cade was the good one. And should I look it up?
Sure. Anyway, twin babies, and they start like, and they're feeding each other. And then he's like talking about how he loved his brother. And their dog, because
oh,
he
yeah.
found
there's
stock
a golden retriever.
Of two kids playing on the beach with a dog.
Yes,
and that's the only reason he mentions the dog is because it's in the footage.
Okay, it's Cade, and then there's Kale.
God, that's awful.
I don't remember which one was which, though.
I don't either.
Before we even get to that, though, one of the best things that happened when we went to watch this movie was the movie was starting, and the theater was playing this music, and it kind of coincided where a song started when the movie was starting, and so it seemed like that was the music with the movie, and Cassie's like, oh, good job, Neil Breen, and getting like real music, and then it cuts out immediately and goes to crap, like Enya Junior type music.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
It was just nice because it was there was a brief moment where Cassie was like, maybe Neil did it this time.
He's learning about film.
Nope. So we have that stock footage. There's like, I don't think this is where it happened, but near as we can figure, Neil Breen, who's playing his own twin in this movie, is either some kind of alien or some kind of created creature that is above humans.
Because they've been selected because they're close to, like, a humanoid is what he says.
Yeah, and they're getting some kind of surgeries or something done to become, quote-unquote, more humanoid. That's very unclear what exactly is happening. That is all also stock footage. And it looked good. Like, the stock footage looked much more competent, and, like, the lighting and everything was very competent. And so it was confusing. Yeah.
But he also overlaid himself in the background.
Yes. It looks horrible. If you look the movie up on IMDb, I think the first picture that you can see, it's picture 5 of 10. You can see that like what the stock footage looks like, and it's a touch screen that's like hanging in the air, like a glass one. And he's like sort of reaching out to touch it too, but he can't because it's stock footage.
Also, it's funny because, like, this doctor people in the stock footage are, like, full bodysuit, and he just has, like, the little mask on.
Yes. Yeah, and he has, like, just a normal surgical mask on sometimes, and they have, like, the rabbit suit on or the bunny suit, whatever you call that. Like, they're working at Intel.
Yeah.
And he's just in the mask. One of the theories I had for this movie afterwards was, like, I think maybe he had an idea for a movie, but then he discovered all this stock footage, so he decided to like add a bunch of weird elements that don't make sense. Because I think you could take out all the stock footage stuff, and it doesn't change the movie at all.
No.
So then we go to some, also what looked surprisingly good, stock footage of soldiers in a building in what looks to be like an Iraq or something like that.
Yeah.
And they look... You could tell this was not something he did either, because their costumes look good. They have what appear to be real guns, and they're like running around in soldierly fashion.
In formation and like hiding and
So he just shows up in like a shirt and jeans.
And some jeans. A denim shirt and some denim jeans.
Yeah. He's in his Canadian tuxedo and he shows up and he's like, follow me, guys. I'll keep you safe. And then he seems to make explosions happen with his mind that somehow help these soldiers. It's totally unclear what they're doing or why they're there. But they're just blowing shit up.
Also, it's important. Okay, so him and his twin, like, become humanoid. And then his twin is, like, bad.
Yes.
So there's good twin Neil Breen and bad twin Neil Breen. And this is, like, important for the premise of the movie.
Yeah, because bad Neil, it was like he was failing in his missions or something. It's very, this is all, like, narration that happens at the beginning where you're like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. It's like, I'm going to have to see this one again and be like, does it make more sense? I don't think it will. But, so yeah, he was like kicked out of something and he's not like getting surgeries anymore or something.
Yeah.
This is all very unclear.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the community college campus, which in this film, the community college campus is Neil Breen's office where he works for some secret government organization. It's wherever his girlfriend works. Totally unclear what that is.
They don't work together, but do.
Yeah, they don't work together, but they seem to cross paths a lot. At one point, it's an outdoor restaurant.
Yes.
Patio.
It's also where hobos hang out. And then also, it's a bad guy's lair.
Mm-hmm. It's a bad guy's lair and a facility that they blow up.
Yes.
Like a water facility.
The reason we knew 100% it was a campus, like, you're looking at it and you're like, well, yeah, this looks very much like a campus, but it could be like an office complex park. But no, because Poonmaster Flex works at a college campus and knows about career platform software, which they had a flyer for. And I was like, I know what this is.
Yeah, he's like infiltrating a secret alien facility or something. Yeah. And it's got this sign on the door for this thing called Handshake. And you're like, that's Handshake. I know what that is. This is definitely a community college. And we did, spoiler alert, we stayed for the credits. And it says, thanks to whatever community college. Like
some Nevada State College.
Yeah. Okay, so then we get one of the... So he finishes the mission. There's stock footage where he walks onto a stock footage airplane. And, like, a stewardess gets on the airplane. Yeah, and that was very confusing, too. But, again, I think that was the stock footage thing, because it seemed like he could teleport or something.
I don't know. Well, obviously he could, because he could, like, or he just had super jump powers. I don't really know if it was teleporting or jumping.
I don't know either. Well, it seemed like when he was guiding the soldiers, he kind of just showed up. Like, he just appeared. But then I guess he has to take a plane. Let's assume like it's like Nightcrawler from X-Men. He can't just appear. If I was him, I can't just go to Rhode Island right now. I could go like somewhere I could see, or it's like risky to even go into another room if I can't see into the room.
Oh, okay. Because
what if I materialize in the wall or something?
In a person.
Yeah, they'd probably explode. That would be awesome.
Ugh.
Okay, so then we get one of the weirdest scenes in the whole movie. Because Neil Breen's walking on the college campus after quote-unquote work and bumps into this woman. Yeah, like she's carrying a bunch of papers and shit. Drops all her stuff all over the ground.
Yeah.
And so then he's like, I'm so sorry. Let me buy you a drink. Let me take you out to dinner. And she's like, no. The whole scene seemed like... actually happened while they were filming and he was like, let me take you out to dinner, and she's like, no, hell no. This whole thing is being watched by what I can only describe as a hobo with rubber Spirit of Halloween store rats around him, which later he feeds.
Yes.
And his only purpose in the movie seemed to be to bear witness to this collision. And then late, so then Neil is like, okay, meet me here at 8. I'll take you out. And she's like, no, 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 no. And he's like, all right, I'll see you at 8. Shows up at 8. He's on the community college campus next to the hobo.
And is like, I can't believe she didn't show.
I know, he's like shocked. And then he looks, what I assume, this is where things start to get confusing geographically. Because he's like, oh, there's the woman I bumped into. And he's, the camera assumedly spins around, but then you're seeing like a suburban neighborhood. It's yeah. clearly not, those two the things city. Couldn't be that close to each other. But he sees her walking. And she walks into a house.
Follows her.
Yeah, he follows her to the house and then into the house.
And then you and I were like, oh my gosh, is this bad Neil Breen? Like faking that he's good Neil Breen and he's going to like harm this woman.
Yes, and this was before you had the smart idea of saying like, you know, I just need to let this movie happen and not try to predict. Because when you try to predict a Neil Breen movie, you come up with things that are better and make more sense than the yeah. movie. And then you're kind of, like, disappointed by what actually happens.
Well, this was just, like, unnerving.
Yeah, so basically he starts raping her, for lack of a better term. Trying to rape her?
Yeah.
It's unclear. The best part of which was they sort of wrestle their way to being semi-seated on a couch. And there's a framed painting just sitting on the couch, which he smashes over his head. So he's going through it like Porky Pig at the end of a... Yeah. Looney Tunes cartoon.
And it turns out that this is good Neil Breen and they're just into like rape sex, like fantasy time.
Yes. Which is so elaborate that when they bump into each other on the street, let's call it, and he knocks her papers out of his hands and then he's pretending like, let's go out for dinner. And she's like, no, no, no. And they're doing this weird performative thing in front of the hobo. Also, I forgot to mention there was some stock footage early on of him petting an eagle.
Oh, I forgot. That's which comes back around because we have to maximize our use of like eagle falcon petting.
Yes. Yeah, it's like the exact same shot happens again later for no real
it's
reason.
The best. That's my favorite part of the entire movie.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty stupid and like it's very weird. You see, it's like it's a good shot of an eagle flying in slow motion onto like a post where clearly they've put some kind of food for it and it's eating it. And so then, but you can see it's got like a little, I don't know what you call it, like a leash around its foot or something.
Yeah, a little tie.
Yeah. And then you're just like, wow, this is like really good footage. The whole probably first half hour before we realized what was going on, it was like, this is amazing footage. Like, how did Neil Breen get this footage? And then it's like, oh, because he didn't make it. He purchased it.
No, that was obvious. He doesn't have the skills to do.
I think it was like, it became obvious. Well, like, the eagle was pretty obvious, because then when he's petting it, he's pretty badly green screened in.
I mean, we go from, like, the stock footage of, like, the two little twin boys to then them on a beach. And yeah. He might have filmed the twin boys, but the beach stuff was definitely
not. Because that was, like, had an interesting angle on it, and it was, like, capturing the, you know, highly kinetic situation of being at the beach and, like, a childhood memory.
Yeah.
Okay, so then... Okay, the whole time his evil twin... he's doing drugs with his girlfriend. And they have these, you know, he comes home and he'll be like, here's your drugs. And she's like, how come you get more drugs than me? And he's like, because I go to work, bitch.
No, but also he has like pills and then he's like, one for you, one for me.
Yeah.
For you, one for me.
That's
and
right.
It's romantic.
That's their tender moment to be like, maybe he's not all bad. Although maybe he is bad because he's giving someone drugs. Hard to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like his story arc basically seems to be, as is typical of Neil Breen movies, he has captured like a banking person, an insurance person, something like that, like four guys. And he's got them tied up in some room and he's torturing them. And the first way he tortures them is by shooting them all like in the shoulder or the leg, which I guess they survive. But the real great part is there's a guy in that room who has a fake mustache. And when he's wearing the mustache, it gets worse and worse as the movie progresses. And it's a tape-on mustache. So you can very clearly see the outline of the tape. And it's like very rectangular and straight. And then the hairs are kind of thin in between. So you just see, it looks like a tape-on mustache, which is what it is.
And it goes from that guy, and then isn't someone else wearing it at one point? And
yes.
Then, yeah.
Because there's a bald, darker-skinned guy who's one of the kidnapped bank guys or whatever. But then he's also a detective later. And so when he's the detective, he's wearing the mustache. And that's probably when it looks the best. However, because his skin is darker and the tape is not totally transparent, it's super obvious that there's this tape underneath it. Like, that guy can't wear that fake mustache because it's too light against his skin. It totally contrasts against his skin. And also, it was just confusing because it's like the guy was distinct enough looking that when he's a detective later and he's supposed to be a totally different character, it's super confusing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of basically what bad Neil Breen is doing. Okay. Then good Neil Breen is given the job to infiltrate some evil organization that's doing something with virtual reality, the corrupt version.
But really, the guy who's in charge just likes fondling giant fake gemstones and talking to a fairy lady with hooker heels.
Yes, he's got a pimp chalice like Lil Jon would have, and it's full of giant fake diamonds, and he just caresses them all the time.
Yep.
And yeah, he's got this woman who's hanging around him who's, yeah, she looks like if you went to a Ren Fest and there's a fairy there, that's what
like
she looks
Skanky
like.
Like Skanky Tinkerbell.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, I guess, or maybe if you had Disney Night at the strip club, they'd be oh, I'm going to be Tinkerbell. And that's kind of what she looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think what was supposed to happen the first time Neil Breen goes there is he was supposed to be interested in buying art from this person who's also an art collector. But what he's really trying to do is get in on some kind of illegal activity that this guy is doing. And basically the way the scene plays out is he looks at some art and then he's like, "So, tell me, I hear you have some illegal activity going." Like, it was pretty much just like that. It didn't even make sense.
No.
Also, the weird guy, the diamond stroker, has these three cat statues on his table. Yeah, they move. Like, sometimes they move between cuts. So I was like, oh, this is just going to be clever and you're going to have to notice. But then it actually shows them moving.
Yeah. And it was really cool.
It looks exactly like, did you ever do the magic trick when you were a kid where you get like something metal and a magnet and you put the magnet under the table and then you're like moving something around from under the table?
That's what it looked like.
That's exactly what it looked like. Okay, so then Neil Breen discovers there's some kind of evil facility that Diamond Stroker is doing something in. It's super unclear. It looks like just Neil Breen wandering around a community college campus, looking through like a computer lab, like it's the most evil place he's ever been. And then, which by the way, gets his computer quota up there, because he always has to have like 50 computers in his movies. Then he's like in a chemistry lab or something, and he's just like picking stuff up. And he's
And I was like asking you how on earth he got away with this, and you were like, I think that they probably paid some student to supervise him and make sure he didn't actually do bad stuff.
100%, because it's like, I'm sure he paid to shoot at this campus. It may have even been a campus that wasn't open yet, because it looks pretty new.
It does.
So it's possible that this campus didn't have any classes or anything, because also the rooms were pretty bare.
Also, though, you could see janitorial staff because he strictly filmed at like night.
Yes.
You could see janitors in the backgrounds of the other buildings.
Yeah, like 90% of the outdoor scenes happen near this one staircase. And there's one time where he's on the staircase and you can see in the building and you can see a janitor in there cleaning up. So he's in there, I guess, discovering what's going on in this facility and like picking stuff up in this lab that's just probably like some kind of thermometer or something.
Yeah, pretty basic.
Yeah, and he's like, programmable matter. This is what they're up to or something. So then he decides he needs to blow up the evil facility. So he goes back to the community college, but he's in like the basement. But you can tell he's at the community college too, because it's got like those number plates on the doors.
There's like a boiler, like it's a boiler room.
Yeah, yes. And like, so then you're expected to sort of see it as like he goes into this room and then he's blowing things up with his mind. And then he also, in this movie, discovered some way to do an effect where it looks like he's zooming around. So he'll be like up on a balcony and he'll kind of like put one leg over the balcony and then sort of whoosh down to the ground. And you did notice that his hair actually does fly back while he's doing it, which is a fairly impressive effect for him.
That was a really good effect.
Yeah. Which I was like, I guess he probably just stood in front of a fan and a green screen, right?
I don't know. I don't know how he did it.
And the hair movement was even kind of timed with the movement.
It was. So that was.
Yeah, it worked. That was pretty good for him. Effects-wise, not bad. But then it begs the question, too, of like, he put so much effort and care into that effect, yet didn't want to spring for a second fake mustache. Just be like, this mustache is looking a little haggard. I don't know. So anyway, he blows up the facility. He runs into Diamond Stroker there for some reason, except now Diamond Stroker is being played by what looks like his own grandpa.
Yeah.
He's like 50 pounds heavier and 25 years older.
Yeah.
At least. It's a totally different guy, but it's him because he's got like a fedora and sunglasses and stuff on.
Yeah, he had the totally same outfit, but his face is different.
It's a totally, you would never he's think. Fat. Yeah, he's way fatter and way older.
Yeah.
And it was like pretty clear that they were like, all right, we can't get this guy for this scene for whatever reason. So just like, well, who's a bald white guy?
I don't know that they credited two people with that role.
Well, let's see. Should I see? I mean, they don't actually even say who's who. They just have names on here. He could have been Marty Dasis, Brad Stein, John Smith Burns, Art Freeman, Greg Smith Burns. There's two someone Smith Burns. Oh, Ada Masters is Muse. I bet that's the fairy lady.
So weird.
She was in a movie called Stripped, and she was a party goer. Or a show. A show about Las Vegas called Stripped with a dollar sign for the S.
Oh, classy.
So then it turns out that Neil Breen's girlfriend was secretly an alien or whatever. Whatever the bad guy was.
Really?
Maybe?
I don't know.
I don't know what they were. I don't know what they were or what they were trying to do. But she was in with the bad guy.
Yeah. So she shoots good Neil Breen.
Yeah. And he shoots her. And he's fine and she dies.
Yeah. And then they reunite in alien heaven for a minute.
Yes. They're in like weird purple forest alien heaven.
And it's like a much cheaper Avatar universe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if James Cameron had to make the Avatar world, whatever that's called, on with one shot.
Yeah.
And didn't have very much money and was Neil Breen. He'd be like, this is what it looks like. So they meet up in heaven and she's like, he's like, am I dead? And he's like, I still love you, even though you betrayed me. And she's like, I still love you so much too, but you have more things that you have to do. You're not dead yet. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he goes back to wherever.
But he's sad about it.
He is sad. And it's like, we'll be together someday. but not yet. It's not your time yet. And that's pretty much it as far as plot. Now, this was like a solid 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
One hour, 29.
Yeah, it was like 1 minute shy.
And yeah, I think that was like the... So, his least... And these are all things I would say, but I don't even say spoiler alert before this because, like, this is... It's like you can't do a spoiler alert for an abstract painting. Because it's like, well, I don't know. That's what I saw.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Who knows? We couldn't even, like, just now, we both didn't agree necessarily, like, are those people aliens? I'm like, I don't fucking know. I thought they were for some reason, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. It was very confusing. I really did, like, whenever I just decided to stop trying to understand what was going on.
Also, evil Neil Breen twin just sort of kneels down next to a tree at some point or slumps down, and it's like, is he supposed to be dead? I don't know. You what?
Yeah, I think he died.
Yeah. Yeah, so then we left the theater, and I was kind of like, okay, can we try and go through the plot? And Cassie was just like, I stopped paying attention and so on. And I was like, maybe that's the right thing. I was listening to a thing about doing shrooms. And it was talking about how, like, when you do shrooms, that's what you got to do. You got to just, like, let stuff happen to you. And when you try and maintain control, that's when it goes bad. So you just sort of let go. And that's probably the right way to watch a Neil Breen film.
Yeah, I mean, this one, for sure, because I felt like Fateful Findings was understandable to a point, but I feel like since then, just...
Yeah, well, we talked about Fateful Findings in the same context, right? And it was like, weird stuff happens, stuff that doesn't make sense, but we sort of understood the general thread of, like, this happened... This person's dead. This person's not dead. So on and so forth.
None of this movie made sense.
No. It was terrible.
It was really bad. I think we were both upset about it, too.
It was a little disappointing because we've been waiting so long. Now, I don't really remember if Pass Through was also... Because we saw Pass Through on your birthday 1 year.
Yeah.
And we saw it after we'd gone to a cat shelter. And then... What?
And you were dying.
Yeah. I was fine when we left the cat shelter, and then about 2 hours later, it hit me, and I basically had like a 3-week cold all in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And just fell asleep on the floor watching Pass Through. So I don't even really remember it.
I don't remember it at all either.
But it's been a couple years since we've had a Neil Breen film, and that was one of our early relationship things. One of our first big dates was going to see Neil Breen, Fateful Findings at midnight, which was Cassie's idea.
It was my idea. This is how you know whenever you found somebody that's good for you.
It's true.
You want to watch the awful movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're so desperate to spend time with you that they'll be like, how about we go see a Neil Breen film?
You were like, oh, it's playing in Portland. I'm going to come out that weekend. Like, This is a good excuse. And, like, you're cool to see, but also this is happening. So,
yeah. My buddy Neil's going to be there. Oh, I guess you live there too. That's convenient.
Neat. Pick me up from the airport. Buy me food.
Yeah. Maybe from the airport. Maybe we'll go have a cocktail. I'll eat a giant hamburger. And then we'll go watch a movie. So, yeah, that's our brief review. I was talking to someone at work, and they presented to me an interesting challenge that I was like, I kind of want to try it, which he was like, do you think if you took the movie as it stands now and recut it, that you could, there's enough material there to make a logical story out of it?
No. I don't.
I don't know either, and if I did, it would probably be 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
I'd cut out the brother, I'd cut out the girlfriend, I'd cut out the evil diamond people, I would cut out basically everything except him helping the soldiers him talking to his boss.
Who thinks he should take vacation, but his kind of people don't need vacation.
Yeah, and that's not clear either. Like, does she know he's an alien or something? Or is because she's like, you think she knows? It seems like she knows. Although she's kind of like, you should vacation. You should try it sometime. Oh, that's right. Your kind of people don't take vacation. And I was like, what? What kind of people? Terminators?
Yeah.
And then there was one other part, too, that I was like, this is where Neil Breen gets baffling for me. There's a part where he takes his girlfriend out and he tells her he bought out the entire patio restaurant. And they're just out on outdoor furniture at the community college.
Yeah.
And they're kind of smiling and laughing about it. And what I can't tell is in the movie, is it supposed to be that in the movie, this character is like, obviously this isn't a restaurant. I'm just pretending, you know, it's like a cute joke. Or is it supposed to actually be a restaurant? That one?
Yeah. I think it's supposed to actually be a restaurant. I don't think he, like, understands, like, couple jokes. Because I don't... maybe he doesn't understand them because he's never been a couple. But, like, whenever he spills that salad and Fateful Findings, like...
Yeah.
That's supposed to be a cute couple joke, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no other... Yeah.
Yeah, he's, like, eating the salad and tips the bowl over and kind of looks at his girlfriend like, eh, and she's like, oh, you...
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is going on right now?
I don't think it's a couple joke. I think that it was him trying to be fancy in a restaurant that's clearly outdoor cafeteria seating.
You know, banking on him doing something incompetently is probably a good bet. I mean, banking on him being, like, smarter and not achieving what he wants. All right, last question. And then we can be done. Do you think that when he finishes his movies, that he thinks they, like, look good and that he's done what he wanted to do? Or do you think he sees them and is like, if only I had the resources to actually create the vision that I wanted?
I think that he's satisfied with them. Although I am curious if he is like you and podcast, where you're just like, I'm going to do this and then it's done and like not a bunch of editing. Or if he like goes back in and then like adds more stuff to try and make a story.
Like he's
also,
like,
I think that he has money.
Yeah. But I mean, he doesn't. I wonder if his movies would make any more sense if he had like Avengers money.
Oh, no. I don't think they would.
They spend like $250 million to make a movie.
Based on this one, I think that he's got like some dementia or something.
This one does seem like maybe he's really lost what little sense of narrative that he may have had.
Uh-huh.
And even that's very questionable.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like... At some point, he had some idea of how stories work, and he doesn't even seem to be in possession of that anymore.
Nope.
It's a little sad. But I don't know. Maybe he's just getting more abstract.
Do you think that he... What do you think?
I think that he thinks he's doing something artsy. And, like, he's doing something... That he's like, well, it's a little bit up to the interpretation of the viewer and stuff like that. And he's like, I don't want to tell everyone everything because then it leaves nothing up to their decision making. But I think he does such an incompetent job that it's like, well, you got to give me something.
I agree that he probably thinks it's artsy and up to interpretation. But it's fascinating though because he is like. Guns and explosions, and usually in like artsy interpretive films, that's not a common thread.
Yeah, and he's making these weird movies. They're not like sometimes you see a shitty, incompetent movie, and you're like, okay, this is a Pulp Fiction ripoff. Okay, this is a whatever's big at the time as far as like indie film. Like Clerks come out, there's a thousand Clerks type movies. Pulp Fiction comes out, there's a thousand Pulp Fiction type movies, all that kind of shit. But I don't think I would describe his movies as being really like it's sort of like take a Bourne Identity movie, but then add like elements of mysticism to it.
Yeah.
And they always have kind of a romance element that's poorly.
But do you think that he's like satisfied, like when he's done filming, that he's like, this is what I wanted?
I guess. I mean, he must to an extent, right? Because otherwise I don't think he would put it out. But at the same time, I feel like it's hard to watch that and be like, someone was satisfied with this. It doesn't make sense, right?
I want to see him as a real estate agent. I want him to help us buy a house.
Just be like, hey, we need help. Can you freelance? Can you Skype in?
Just seems like he would be very impatient.
Yeah. Well, he hates banks and he hates insurance companies. So I wonder if he would either be a great real estate agent because he'd be like, I want to help you out because you're like regular people. Or if he's like, fuck the bank. You don't have to do it that way. And then takes you to some illegal route of getting money and you're just like, oh no.
Do you think all of his money is like at his house if he hates the bank so much? Like he's a Ron Swanson and it's all like in gold.
Yeah, or buried in his yard or something.
Yeah, like a Dwight.
I don't think all, but I bet some.
Yeah.
I bet a significant portion, or that maybe he's got it in some kind of investment properties or something like that. Mm. Like maybe he's a landlord.
Let's go rent from Neil Breen.
If you're in the Las Vegas area and you're renting from some company that has N or B in it, in the name, as either the first letter of any of the words, be suspicious. Be very suspicious. Okay. Well, that's all.
Okay.
That's all I needed.
Thanks for calling me.
Yeah, I'm going to play an outro song.
Woo!
Are you excited?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys some other time. Somebody should. Let's talk about two times.